If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
When I was a child, my mother, as I said, my mom was from Georgia, so that Georgian side of the family, we met regularly. My mother had 8 brothers and sisters, and all of them had children, so when we had a family gathering, it was a gathering. But my dad's family, we went to his family every Saturday, and they lived over on Cresham Valley Road, my cousin Rupert, and they lived over on that side. So Uncle Arnold and Aunt Irene would come from over on Nedro, and we would all gather and go over to his house because he had the bigger house. And I can still remember the preparatory phrase of my mom. No matter what I was doing, when it was time to go, she called me Little Eric. She said, Little Eric, get ready to go. And getting ready to go was a long, arduous task. Number one, I had to put up my toys. And I resented putting up my toys. My toys, it took a long time to get them out. And here she comes, put them up. And Mama was a stickler for order and organization. When she meant up, she didn't mean piled in a corner. She meant back in their original packaging and placed out of the way so they would not cause anyone to trip or fall. The second thing she said we had to do was take a bath. Because we couldn't go anywhere without taking a bath. We had to take a bath before I went to the doctor. You never go out the house with dirty underwear on. You get a bullet in your shoulder. All you worry about was whether or not you had on clean underwear. Your brains could be laying outside your head in your last breath. Do I have clean underwear on? I never quite understood the connection of clean underwear and medical care. Like the doctor's really going to remember if my underwear are not clean. But that's the rule. You had to get washed. And washing in those days was not like the gentle things. We didn't have no silk loofah where you pour your nice little bath gel on it that smells like jasmine. No, they put dishwashing detergent and Fab and Tide. And you put it on a diaper that they took from one of the kids, and it scrub you until you became red. I don't care how dark you were, you got red. Because that powder would just scrub all the way down. Like they were really trying to make Catholics out of you. They just scrubbed you clean. You squeaked when you walked. And then after that came the ritual of getting dressed. And I mean, it was a ritual. It wasn't like today. Just grab it out of the hamper, you know, get it out of the dryer, take it out of the laundry basket and throw it on. No! It was a ritual. Your socks were folded. They were ironed. Nobody saw them, but they were ironed. Your trousers had a crease that could slice tomatoes. They could slice tomatoes. Your shirts were immaculately tucked inside of those trousers. And your belt was pulled so tight, it was an abdominal exercise. And there was 8 inches of it hanging off down here, all the way around the back, so much so that it could almost go around again. And every bit of clothes was purchased with the mindset of, we want you to grow into it. Nothing fit. But it was amazing how everything was large except the length of your pants. Everything was like you were waiting for Noah's flood and didn't want to get the bottom of your trousers wet. What a process just to go over and play with my cousins and eat Jamaican food. What a process. And she would walk in and take that cloth and scrub the back of my ears. Why is that important? Nobody's going to see the back of my ears. I can guarantee you, I bet you a whole month's mortgage payment, ain't nobody going to look. You think my Jamaican family said, come on over here, boy, let me look at the back of your ears. No! But she did all of that. And it was for all of us. I was the first one because I was the youngest. And I took the longest to get dressed because I fidgeted. And I didn't like it. I fought it. I didn't like the process. I wanted to just wear the same old clothes that I wore all week. No, I was making a statement because she wanted our Jamaican family to know we were not bums. And pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He had a grassy lawn. If we fell and got grass stains on our beige khakis, we heard about it. It's horrible. Oppressive. Could never understand how cruel they were to me. Isn't that amazing how God prepares you for a life of holiness and a life of living for Him by your childhood examples? God saved every one of us, and we were as filthy as could be. And He washed us up and scrubbed us. And scrubbed us in the most innocuous places, in places where no one looks. No one looks at my heart. And yet He goes through great lengths to cleanse my heart. None of you can see my mind, but He goes through great lengths to clean my mind. Everything that's hidden from you, He scrubs it and washes it. He deals with everything, and I don't like it. I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. Why? Because He's saying the same thing Mama said. Get ready to go. Get ready to go. I don't know how you view what's about to come. Or maybe you're modern and don't believe it's about to come. Or maybe you've lived so long that you doubt it's about to come. And so today's message, God says, to reinvigorate them. Now you operate under this mindset that your salvation, though complete, lacks accountability. That I can do whatever I want to do. It's the modern grace. The modern grace has no accountability. It has no consequence. And so we live under that mindset. Oh, well, Jesus, hey, don't matter. Jesus, he just forgives everything. Really? The Bible is clear that there's one thing He doesn't forgive, and that's unforgiveness. He said, if you don't forgive people, God can't forgive you. It seems to suggest that the unpardonable sin that we've been searching for is really unforgiveness towards others, because God can't forgive you. But I digress. Jesus makes a bold statement in the book of John when He talks about the paraclete. He says when He comes, He's going to do some interesting things. Number one, He says that He is going to reveal who I am to you. You will no longer see me as the fisherman from Galilee. You will see me as the Lord of glory in an intercessory role and a priestly role for my coming church. You will see me high and lifted up. You will see me in a position of glory and honor that you've never seen me before because of familiarity. The second thing that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do is He will bring everything to your remembrance what I've taught you. I'm giving you this gift of recall. And so the Holy Spirit will work to supplement the weaknesses of our recall ability and bring things back to our mind that He has spoken to us as far back as kindergarten and public school when they read the Bible to you every day at assembly. The third thing that Jesus says is the thing that challenges me. It opens up a doorway of tremendous spiritual opportunity. He says, when He comes, He will show you things to come. Uh-oh. Well, let's thrash it out for a moment. Deep inside of your body are many, 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 many physical parts, hearts, lungs, kidneys, liver, so forth and so on. And each part has a distinct job, I'll say, to perform in you.
There is nothing spiritual about my heart. Its job is to pump blood. That's all it does, pumps blood. At the rate of 7 seconds, 7.5 seconds, to get it all the way through my entire body in 7.5 seconds. Brings it up from the right side, and then oxygenates it and pushes it back down the left side through the arteries. And then through the veins and capillaries, it carries it through my body. You have 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries throughout your whole body if you took them all out and laid them out. In your body, God just and gave you that one heart to pump it, push that blood through. Your small intestine is 24 feet long. 24 feet. Beautiful, isn't that? Isn't that fantastic? Then he took your kidneys and stuck them right around here. And on the top of the kidney is a gland called an adrenal gland. And through that adrenal gland, it produces adrenaline. And that adrenaline gives you that fight or flight. If somebody gets up in your face, you got strength to punch them out. Or if they're too big, you got strength to run. It only lasts for a few seconds. You can only fight for about 8 seconds. After that, you done. So you better hit them hard and hit them fast. And if you're running, you better run someplace where you can get in the car, because you only got about 8 to 10 seconds before you, Lord have mercy. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my legs after this man that's chasing me. And all of that beauty can be seen under a microscope and an x-ray and an MRI. But the real you, the part that no machine can see, is called your spirit. Your spirit can't see that, can't see it. You can have MRI, you can have x-ray, you can have, you know, all the other stuff. Every scan they have, it won't find your spirit, because it's in there hidden. It's hidden, motivating you. The other parts are controlled by the brain. The brain sends a signal to control everything. Everything is controlled by that brain. But your spirit is not controlled by your brain. It's controlled by your mind. And your mind is not your brain. Your mind is not your brain. It is the decision maker. It is the belief system. It houses situations and experiences and information to determine how you will respond. Conflict comes because of the mind. Doesn't come because of the spirit. It comes because of the mind. And then the mind influences the rest of you. And so, like the Bible says, when you mind things of the flesh, you will do fleshly things. And when you mind things of the spirit, you will do spiritual things. Amen. And it comes from a part that nobody can see.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
5418P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.